This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Charging status is proudly recorded using Squadcast. Squadcast provides an easy and robust way to record video and audio podcasts. Use our referral link to help support this as well as future episodes. Charging status is also proud to be hosted with Castos. Castos provides an easy way to host podcasts and distribute them to all the top platforms, including YouTube. Use our referral link to help support this as well as future episodes. Hello and welcome to the March episode of Charging Status, the UK and Ireland EV-focused podcast brought to you by The Interface. Things are a little bit different here going forward. You may remember from the last episode that James is no longer my co-host. Instead, Jim Starling is joining me from the Definitely Not A Guru YouTube channel. Welcome, Jim.
Hi, Alex. Thanks very much for inviting me on. Big shoes to fill with James moving on, but from one James to another, I guess. Yeah.
In the last episode, obviously, we discussed James's move on to a job within the EV industry. So, mm-hmm. I had you on the Creator Spotlight podcast in January, I think. And I figured, with your expertise in car reviews and electric vehicles, it was a good fit, I think. So we're going to discuss a lot of the EV news from the last month and the charging news, and also we're going to have a look at what cars you've been driving as well the last few weeks as well. So
yeah, fantastic. And of course we've got some news, haven't we, you and I, we're heading over to the Fully Charged live show in Farnborough on the 28th of April, and I don't know, Alex may even be floating around for the other days as well, but I'll certainly be there just on the 28th of April. And we've been invited by GWM Aura to go and see something new. We think it might be a new GWM Aura model coming to the UK, or perhaps a variation of an existing one. We'll have to wait to see on that.
That'd be quite cool. Yeah, they've only got the Funky Cat available in the UK at the moment, so it'd be quite moving. If there's another vehicle coming, they're moving quite quickly in that case to get more models on sale.
They've got loads available in China, and certainly Great Wall Motors, who sort of own the Aura brand, have got, you know, I don't know, tens of different vehicles across their different brands, but Aura certainly have other models available in China. So it might be a case of one of those coming over, or there's some rumor about a GT version, a GT line version of the Funky Cat, which will be a little bit more butch, I guess, is the easiest way to, so we shall see, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. We got quite a bit of new EVs and EV news, and as well as some charging news from the last few months. So I'll just get started with the first thing on the list. So in March, the new Volkswagen ID.3 was announced. So very early on in March, way ahead of schedule, according to Volkswagen, they brought the launch date forward because of issues that people have been having with it. We say it's an all new car, but it's more of a facelift. And some technology improvements. So what do you think about this?
I think it's good news because, personally, I know lots of people like the ID.3. The ID.3 has been a fairly popular car. It's done fairly well on the sales front. For me, it's just always left me a bit cold. And certainly driving the number of cars I get to drive, I don't know, the quality you expect from a VW or from a VW of old just didn't feel like it was there. It felt like a bit of a kind of, someone said, draw an EV and come up with a fairly minimalist interior. And it just felt a bit rushed to me. And it's one of my least favorite EVs, I know is quite a bold thing to say, but I just found the whole thing slightly disappointing. and certainly the interior quality nowhere near up to what you'd expect from certainly a car of that price point, and certainly one with a VW badge sitting on the front of it. So I think this is a good thing. The extra range will be great. I recently went to a VW drive day and they spoke at some length about how the new CEO really wants to go back to sort of interesting and high quality car interiors. So let's see, it might be a little return to form.
Yeah, I've never driven an electric Volkswagen. The closest I've got is probably the Mark 8 Golf, as I had as a courtesy car. And that infotainment system is exactly the same for what I know. And it wasn't the best thing to be using. It was a bit fiddly and confusing. So some of the improvements they have made apparently is the volume strip, the slider thing. That, apparently that's going to light up now at nighttime. And it's an all new software platform as well. So be quite interesting to see when that goes on sale. Apparently production start later this year, but no pricing and no availability as far as that has been released yet. So might be a little while before we see anything from that. So
it'd be nice if they just replace that slidey volume bar with a little kind of round thing that you twist and it makes the volume go up and down. Yeah, that would be really groundbreaking, wouldn't it?
All right, the next thing, this isn't from the interface, this is from Auto Express. The new Kia EV9 was announced only a few days ago at the New York Auto Show. This looks massive. It's very similar to the EX90 Volvo. It looks huge. I imagine that's quite expensive.
I mean, the rumor is it's going to be $100,000, or for the kind of the top spec, and possibly entry of about 80, but obviously nothing's confirmed and it's all sort of conjecture at the moment. But I mean, if you could buy £100,000 Kia, that would be quite a feat, wouldn't it? It would certainly show how far the brand's come. I mean, the looks of the thing, I absolutely love the look of that car. I think it's a gorgeous looking thing. It's just a big block of, rah, I love it. $80,000 for a Kia is going to be a tough sell for some, but I think it's only that tough when you haven't experienced one in recent years, because, you know, Kia and Hyundai and Genesis. Yeah. You know, they've just come on so far in such a short period of time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a lot of the design stuff they're doing with that. There's a few new Hyundais. Obviously, Hyundai is owned by Kia. Well, I think the other way around, I'm not sure. So they're doing a lot of impressive stuff. The EV9, I'd imagine, will be around the price you said, just based on the battery size. It's basically a 100 kilowatt hour battery. And based on the cars I've seen before, it's going to be around that price, I reckon. So, there's no launch date and no release date I can see yet. Oh, sorry. EV9 expected to go on sale later this year. Prices from around 65, apparently.
So it's really cool what they've done with that middle row seats as well. The fact that you can just spin them round, and it really does look like a clever piece of design. And of course, seven seats in the EV market, they're fairly thin on the ground, aren't they? Very thin on the ground, in actual fact. So it's just that price point, you know, will be a sticking point for lots of people like myself that would love to have one.
Yeah. the next thing is, this is more US focused news. So USPS is sort of the equivalent of the Royal Mail. They're turning to electric vans as part of their fleet. So they've actually purchased just over 9,000 e-transits from Ford. And then they'll start to be rolled into their fleet in December this year. The full fleet will be electrified by the end of 2024. So they're not going for one model like what was originally planned. So they did announce ages ago, about 10 years ago, that there'll be a next generation vehicle that they would use. But it seems like they're going for a more sort of varied approach. So they're going to purchase 21,000 EVs from other companies, but just about 10,000 of them will come from Ford. So be interesting to see. I've seen a lot of companies in this country moving towards e-transit as well, like DPD. So it's good to see, especially for what the USPS does. So
Yeah, definitely. I did actually drive one of those for about 15 minutes at drive day.
Oh, really?
And yeah, what I found is that they're quite light if you go over a speed bump at speed. And yeah, they're not really designed to go over speed bumps at 40 miles an hour when empty, because they feel like they're going to roll. But it was amazing to be in a transit and get out of it and not be kind of partially deaf. And, you know, it's a really nice thing to drive. And the interior actually was far better than you would expect from a van. And nice thing.
Yeah, vans are definitely designed to be full of stuff. I know that I watched a review of that e-transit, and for the first time, well, most vans use leaf springs, which is, I guess, because of the weight of the batteries, that it's got full independent suspension, which should make the ride a bit better, because vans aren't the most comfortable thing to drive. So,
yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, while we're on the subject of vans, there's a new California coming this year, or being announced this year. So at the moment, the current California camper van that's made in-house by Volkswagen is based on the current 6.1 Transporter. And I think the plan is to get rid of that. The commercial vehicle version of it, the ID. Buzz Cargo, that's on sale now. So I think that fits the gap. But the California hasn't really got anywhere to go. So what Volkswagen said is the new multivan will become a California replacement. It's quite an interesting vehicle, the multivan. It's not based on a van. It's based on the MQB platform that's used on the ID4 and ID3, which is it makes sense for a passenger vehicle, definitely.
I mean, it's going to be a massive seller for them, you'd imagine, because I mean, I live in Bournemouth and just been down to the seafront at the weekend, and literally anyone with a surfboard, I think if you turn up and you don't have a VW badge on your van, you're shot or denied admittance to the sea. So, and I mean, they just go on and on and on, don't they? And people love them. People still pay huge amounts of money for really old battered versions with a couple hundred thousand miles on. And I think it'll do incredibly well for them, sort of regardless of the price, really.
Yeah. It's going to be more of a stopgap vehicle. So the long-term plan for them is to make an ID. Buzz version, but ideally they need a longer wheelbase version, which isn't coming for a few years. So in 2025, there will be an ID. Buzz California all electric, and also as also a longer wheelbase version as well. So yeah, it'd be quite cool. The multivan, the interior is quite nice, and it has got the same infotainment as the ID Buzz and the other ID cars, which isn't great news, but I'd imagine it probably drives quite well. So
the one thing with that infotainment system is that at least you've got voice commands to bail you out when you want to change the temperature or something. Just do it with the voice commands, and actually they work really well.
Yeah,
you can
say, "Hey Volkswagen," I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry for if we tripped off anyone's cars, but it's also some. Well, this is kind of just industry news, really. There's definitely less interest in diesel powertrains at the moment. A lot of manufacturers have stopped offering them. I know Ford stopped offering a lot of diesels last year, and also BMW the latest as well. So they've cited poor demand for this. So a lot of the diesel versions of the 1 Series, the 4 Series, the 2.5 and the X2 have been dropped. So, for example, one of the diesel models of the 1 Series, the 118D, only had 505 sales last year compared to the year previous when it has over 1,300. So it's definitely a trend that we're seeing. Either people are moving to petrol, moving to EVs, so... And also the cost of diesel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And the SMMT have just launched their sort of Q1 figures for 2023. And diesel's gone down. The sort of new registrations of new cars, diesel's gone down 20% year on year, which is, you know, a huge, huge number, really, isn't it? Out of 287,000, nearly 288,000 sales, 11,000 were diesel. which is staggering.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out who buys them. Like, I'd imagine it's probably company fleets. I don't know if that takes into consideration commercial vehicles.
I think it's just cars.
All right.
Yeah, it's cars. Company fleet figures will be included within this because,
yeah,
if it's a car, it's a car. However, if you're driving a diesel now, your company car tax will be so hideous that I don't know that you would as a company car user. Maybe if you're on a car allowance where you can basically buy your own car and then charge back your fuel, maybe you would still consider a diesel then, but company car tax would just, I mean, my last company car was a Volvo XC40 diesel, and it was like the D3, so it was the lowest powered diesel variant, and I was paying about 900 quid a month in company car tax when that went back. I was in a particularly unfortunate tax position at the time, but yeah, it's awful. And even before that, I think it was $450 a year, something like that, for your, you know, in inverted commas, free car, which you use as a tool of your trade. So it's tough. The highest seller there is still petrol. But if you combine all the different hybrid versions, so mild hybrids, plug-in hybrids, then that's the biggest seller at the moment. But then battery electric vehicles, 46,626 in the first quarter of 2023, you know, compared to 11,000 diesels. So battery electrics now outselling diesel 4-1.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the BEV sales have gone up by 18%. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's great. A lot of new stuff happening. So, got another bit more commercial vehicle news. Over the last few days, Ford announced an update to the smallest van. So, they've always offered like four different vans. So they've got the Courier, the Connect, the Custom, and then the big Transit. They've announced that there's a new e-Transit Courier on the way. So this is the smallest van they offer. And it will be offered as both a diesel, petrol, and electric. But the main focus is on the EV one because, that's the focus. So it will be coming in 2023. Q3 2023 is the petrol diesel versions. Electric one will come next year. And this would be great for like delivery companies and the Royal Mail when they've got not that the ranges won't be any good, but they've got shorter journeys to do in smaller loads and that sort of thing.
I mean, last mile delivery is a massive polluter as well, isn't it? So
yeah.
And in terms of noise as well, I mean, when the postman pulls up outside with his diesel running and goes to three houses, and obviously they always leave it on, yeah, it makes a hell of a racket. It's putting out a load of pollution that doesn't need to be there. And you have to think that in these sort of commercial use cases, any kind of premium to actually buy the vehicle in the first place will soon pay for itself because they put huge, huge mileage on, and it's all that last mile stuff. So yeah, small range, not really a problem, is it?
No, there's no information about the range yet, but it will have 100 kilowatt charging, which is really good. That's the benchmark at the moment. That'll give you 35 minute charging time from 10 to 80%. What I found most interesting is that they are planning on launching a Tourneo version, so a passenger vehicle. And once the Fiesta's dropped, that will become the entry level passenger car for Ford. Which is interesting. Just based on the pictures we've seen, the interior looks quite good quality. As you mentioned with the e-Transit, the sort of the material quality and sort of the look of it is definitely improved with the commercial vehicles. So that'd be quite cool to see. Some public transport news next. So I didn't realize there was such a massive investment into electric buses. I thought sort of the only place that was doing it was London. But it turns out quite a few cities in the UK, the government's investing £2 billion. Well, they've invested to date. They've invested £2 billion in turning buses into buying electric buses. So, so the city of Leicester has had £3 million dedicated to it, and all of their diesel bus fleet is being scrapped and they're going to replace it all with electric buses, which is, as you mentioned, noise. Buses are horrendously noisy, which is, it's quite good. And what's really good is the buses are all made in the UK. So there's a company called Wright Bus, and they manufacture the buses in Northern Ireland. So it's keeping it all local within this area. It's not an expensive bus that's produced elsewhere. It's something that's produced locally, which is good.
Yeah, it's great to see something with wheels on being produced in the UK at any scale, really, because, you know, it's become less of a thing, hasn't it, over the years, that's for sure. And and anything the government can do to promote that would be massively helpful. Yeah, some of the buses are now on hydrogen, aren't they? Which, of course, it's still an electric vehicle at the end of the day. It's just powering it with hydrogen rather than a battery. But interested to see companies going full EV with it. And I guess, again, really, a lot of the buses are going to do relatively short range. But they've got all that real estate to put batteries if they should want. Yeah. So yeah, it seems ideal. The only thing is, you know, you do get on the bus sometimes and it smells a bit like a stairwell in a carpet. And we have to make sure that the fluids that cause that odor don't seep into the batteries, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned hydrogen. Wright Bus make a hydrogen bus as well. So they're not just sticking onto one thing, just electric. They're doing hydrogen and electric, which is good.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. We mentioned the ID3 earlier. So it was announced on the 2nd of March, just a few days ago, well, a few weeks ago, end of March, that new ID3 went up for pre-order in Germany. So there is some more information about it. It's from 39,000 euros in Germany, which is about what it costs at the moment. In my opinion, it's pretty expensive for what it is. Especially with the competition that's out there. So,
I mean, you look at the one with the ID3 Pro S.
Yeah.
47,500 euros. So it's probably going to be £50,000.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're over a Tesla Model 3, Tesla Model Y. Know. Yeesh. Good luck with that one, guys.
I forgot about this car, to be honest. And Lotus are obviously, they're owned by Geely now, same group as Volvo, but they announced their first SUV, I think, last year. But it's now being delivered to customers in China. So the first market is going to be available is in China. We're on about the EV, the Kia EV9 being quite expensive. This is about the same price. It's 112 kilowatt hour battery pack, nearly a 400 mile range, basically. It's about 90 grand. But what I found most impressive is the charging speed. It says 20 minutes from 10 to 80%, which they haven't specified yet what kilowatt speed that is, but it's, that must be insanely fast.
Yeah. It's, the Eletre R will have a more powerful motor and be capable of 0-60 in 2.95 seconds, top speed of 165. It's a crazy performance vehicle. The thing that I don't quite get with it is why they made it an SUV. For me, a Lotus is all about, you know, it's a sports car. I know the world's decided that the world wants an SUV, but I don't know, does a Lotus buyer want an SUV? It's such a kind of niche brand.
I know.
And I hope they make it nice and light, despite the fact it's got 112 kilowatt hour battery pack, or Colin Chapman will be spinning in his grave.
Well, as I said, Lotus have got not just they still have some sports cars on sale. So they've got the Imera, I think it's pronounced. I don't think that's hybrid. I think that's full combustion still. So they are still doing some bits from their roots. So yeah, it's good. We mentioned it pre-show, but I watched a video of the weekend. I think you watched it as well, from Johnny Smith from Late Break Show. He had a first look at the Morris JE van. This is actually not too far away from me, the head office, which is quite interesting to find out. It's sort of a very retro-themed electric van. And these guys are actually going to be at Fully Charged later in the month, so we'll have a good chat with them. This is my big takeaway from it was it's going to do really well for quite uniquely British premium brands like Harrods. They use these for promos and things, I think. I think you watched the video, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the thing was absolutely fantastic. And I just love that kind of retro modern thing. And yeah, he mentioned, I think he dropped the name brands in the video, didn't he? But probably shouldn't
he
have.
Did.
He mentioned Harrods and what was the other one?
Hotel Chocolat.
Oh, Hotel Chocolat, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, just for delivery vehicles, it would be an amazing bit of PR for them and for certain brands. But yeah, I think it looks absolutely fantastic. The price is a little bit disappointing, but I guess it's always going to be expensive when it's a fairly low volume. Yeah. So I think they started about 60 grand.
I think so.
But what a thing. And if you're a local business, what a great piece of marketing, because every time one of those drives down the road, you're going to just turn around and stare at it because it's so different.
I know. Yeah. What I found interesting was the weight of it. So it was all carbon fiber.
Yeah.
And they managed to make it weigh 1,200 kilo, which is like the weight of a normal hatchback.
Yeah. Which is a great shout because, yeah, if they can make it lighter, they don't need as much battery power. And of course, so much of the cost is the battery. It seems like a really, really well-designed, well-made thing. So it'd be interesting to have a poke around with one at Fully Charged. And hopefully I can talk him into having a far less popular YouTuber visit to do a little one-off video.
That sounds good. Next bit was from, we mentioned the ID3 earlier, and you mentioned about it'd be such a revolution to have a dial for the volume. And Volkswagen has done that, it seems, with the ID2.
Yeah. Yeah, this looks really cool.
This is great.
But yeah, I mean, this looks like a bit of a game-changing vehicle, potentially. I must admit, before the announcement came for this, they did a little bit of hype around it, didn't they? But I was really hoping it was going to be the e-Golf. And it's going to be what we've just been talking about, kind of a retro modern. Can you imagine like an EV version of, say, a Mark 1 or Mark 2 Golf with that styling? And they do that they do that kind of much like the Honda E or something, that really met retro modern sort of styling. And that goes on sale at around 25 grand. And they go back to it being, because the Golf was always supposed to be the people's car. It was supposed to be, you know, the kind of car for everyone. And over the years, it's just become a bit more expensive. And actually, the one you want is really expensive. And the weird thing is they announced this and have said it's going to be built. It sounds like it's going to be a similar size to a Polo. And then in the next breath, there was talk of an electric Polo.
Huh.
Yeah, which kind of baffled me slightly. But if they do what they say with this, and you're going to get a car with over 200 miles of range for kind of £22,000.
Yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to be, so the ID3 was Golf wheelbase, Passat space, and this is supposed to be Polo wheelbase, Golf space, because of how set forward everything is.
I just wonder what the Polo's going to be. Is that going to replace the I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe the what's the one you've got, Alex?
Up. Yeah,
the Up. Maybe the Polo's going to replace the Up.
Yeah, because that's the E-Up's been removed from sale already. It was on sale twice. So that was about 17,000. So they've stopped offering that again. The ID2, there was a video from Autogear Fuel, Thomas, which we'll put a link down in the show notes, but incredible video going over all the details, but the interior looks really cool. It is a concept at this stage, but there's a lot of things that they've done properly again, that they've got four window switches again rather than just two. They've got the dial for the volume, they've got proper buttons on the steering wheel, like these joy little rolly things. So it'll probably go when it launches. In 2026, we're about 3 years away from having it. It will use a new platform, so the MEB entry platform. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, $22,000. That's game changing price, really.
I should say I haven't seen that video yet, so I'll have to check that out. But does Thomas use his extendable ruler in it?
No,
I've got it. I get massive ruler envy every time I watch that. such good videos though, aren't they? Just so well shot, and he's a good presenter. I like his take on English as well. You know, he speaks perfect English, but obviously uses it's great. I love it.
There's something you added to the show notes about EV values plummeting and about leasing as well. So there was a decline in EV values. So
yeah, this is a piece that came up on Autocar, and I've heard a lot of kind of noise in the trade at the moment about car dealers are just not buying used EVs at the moment because they're finding that they can't sell them, or that by the time they come to sell them, they've lost a lot of value. And this is one of the things, obviously on my YouTube channel, I talk a lot about leasing and finance and value for money and that kind of stuff. And I've always said that not in every case, because every case is different, but quite often, and certainly me personally, I wouldn't buy an EV at the moment with cash. I would lease one, because for me, the danger is you're going to buy this thing, this asset, and say you have it for 3 years, which most people buying a new car keep it for 3 years, or they do a PCP or something, and that's 3 years. In those 3 years, what's to say the bottom's not going to fall out of it, and you're left with something that's worth far less than you expected it to be? Case in point being Tesla. Look what's just happened there. You bought your Model 3 one day for 50 something thousand pounds. The next week it's worth £9,000 less, and you don't even have it yet. And you also have to think, what happens if Tesla one day says, we're changing out, we're doing a facelift, the new version of Model 3 is going to be the same price, but it's going to have another 100 miles of range, which is exactly the kind of thing they would do. And I just think that you're constantly at the mercy of the technology moving on. And there's that real chance that you're going to suddenly have something that's worth a lot less than you started off with. And this is the thing that's happening right now with the trade, and why they're getting all quite upset about things. Some of them having fixed the prices of used cars fairly well over the COVID-19 saga. So maybe it's, what goes around comes around. But this is a thing. And for me, if I can get into something and I know it's going to cost me X amount over 3 years, and at the end of it, I'm completely free to move on to something else. A lot of people kind of misunderstand what leasing is. And if you just look at it as, I'm going to have this car for 3 years, what's the least amount of money I can pay for it for 3 years, and calculate it that way, sometimes you may be surprised. But yeah, I think it's just protecting yourself against advances in technology, kind of more competition coming into the market, and the way the market reacts to it.
Mm. So in that report, Autocar reported a guy called Richard who had waited 6 months for his new MG4, and it finally arrived. The dealer called him to say his part exchange Citroen EC4 was worth $4,000 less than it was when he initially took the offer. Which is just, that's mad.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely crazy.
All right, that's all the EV news. We've got some bits of charging news to discuss. So there was something about some new chargers in Surrey, so I've got what that was. Surrey to install 10,000 new EV chargers by 2030. So the Surrey County Council had partnered with a charging point provider, Connected Curb. By 2030, 10,000 new charging points will be rolled out. There's apparently... there are 39,000 charging points in the whole of the UK, So just adding 10,000 in one county will have a massive impact.
Yeah.
There's no real message on where these will be put, if it's at council buildings or like parking places, but yeah.
Yeah, so Connected Curb, their specialist thing really is putting them at the roadside and kind of in like lampposts or something that would be a little bollard or something, so that they blend in a bit and they're just available at the roadside. Because obviously the massive problem at the moment, all the people that live in flats and don't have a private drive and, you know, cannot have a charger at home. Well, if you can have one out on the street, then hopefully that kind of helps with that. And they've been going for a few years, and their CEO is a guy called Chris Pateman-Jones, and he came from the petrochemical industry, which is quite interesting. So he's come to it with a slightly different take on things. And they're a really interesting company, actually. I'm sure they'll be at Fully Charged, so we can see what they've currently got on offer. But I think previously they had something a bit like a bollard, and then something that kind of worked as part of a lamppost. And you have to think that's got to be the way forward, is just putting them everywhere.
Yeah, makes it a little bit more invisible as well, so it's less of a thing that's there, which is quite good. Yeah, I'd be interested to see what they've got to show off at Fully Charged. Next bit of news is Tesla are opening more charging locations, the supercharger locations in Europe, for non-Teslas to use. So back in 2022, about a year ago, Tesla announced that they'd start allowing non-Teslas to charge at its supercharger network, and the initial rollout was started in the Netherlands. However, in the last few weeks, more chargers are now going to be open for use, and this hasn't expanded everywhere just yet, just some locations here in the UK and Europe. So in Germany, for example, there are 153 locations for chargers, and 69 of those will be able to be used by both Teslas and non-Teslas. That's great. I haven't used one that's like that, but I've heard the experience is okay. It's less seamless than having a Tesla. So rather than just plugging in and it just doing its thing, you have to use the app and do it that way. But it's good news for everyone.
How would you feel if you were a Tesla owner at that news?
I can imagine some Tesla owners like not being quite happy about it, because sort of the available chargers you've got are gone. But
For me, it's like it's a massive selling point. It is a true unique selling point for Tesla, because they're the only ones with their own dedicated network. And to lose that seems like an odd marketing move. But for everyone else and for the good of mankind, it's a really positive move. But if I'm a selfish person, which I am, and I've got a Tesla, which I don't have, but if I did, I'd be really fed up about that, because I'd probably bought that Tesla in the first place because I'd have access to the supercharger network, and that's probably why I didn't get the Polestar. So, yeah, I think it's two ways to look at it, I guess.
I suppose it's also, just because you have a Tesla doesn't mean you can't use the other networks, and the other networks are improving all the time. Ionity, from what I've heard, is really good.
Ionity is brilliant. Instavolt's pretty good. The one that I've never ever managed to successfully charge on is BP Pulse.
I've heard about that. Yeah.
After about 12 attempts at different places as well. If I see one and I've got an EV, I will pull over and just see if I can charge with it. And it's just never, ever worked.
It is. bit more Tesla news. So, they've announced the very first version 4 supercharger. So these look a bit nicer to look at, a bit cleaner design. So the very first location is in the Netherlands, and the 16 independent chargers. And the main difference is the lack of load sharing, I've heard. Rather than someone charging next to you, you both get a decreased amount of voltage. It's everyone's got their own. So the up to 250 kilowatt speeds, and there's longer charging cables, as well as easier access for all types of electric vehicles. So it's good to see.
Yeah, looks fantastic.
Yeah, so that's all the news that we've got. We're going to move on now to the Jim's Drive section. So what EVs have you been driving in March?
So in March, I've had... So I started off with the Genesis GV70. By the way, quick plug, reviews for all these on my YouTube channel. Definitely not Guru.
Of course.
So, Genesis GV70, the electrified version. I'd never actually driven that as a petrol or diesel. It's the only one I hadn't from the Genesis range. But I tried the kind of petrol and diesel engines offered in the rest of the range. And they were the thing that let the cars down. The petrol was actually great, four-cylinder that felt like a six, but really not very frugal. Couldn't match some of the German cars in terms of the performance figures, in terms of, you know, speed, pure performance, and combined with the MPG, etc. Yeah. And then the diesel, just really unrefined in what's otherwise a really refined car. And for me, it's the best car where they've kind of taken an existing fossil fuel powered car and electrified it. I think the Genesis, it just suits it so, so well. I mean, they should be electric cars. They're just so refined. And you add the EV drivetrain to it and it just finishes it off. It's just perfection. I absolutely adored that GV70. I would marry it if it were legal. And I'm in Dorset, so maybe it is. I don't know. And then moved on to the GV60, which obviously Ioniq 5 EV6 with a different head on it. And it's got a slightly smaller boot than the Ioniq 5 or the EV6. But it's certainly got a more premium interior. The layout feels more familiar to those of you that perhaps know the Ioniq 5. It's a very, very nice thing. Just for me, having come straight from the GV70 to the GV60, it was probably not the best idea. I probably should have had, Twingo or something in between, because it felt like a slight downgrade. And it's not. The GV60 is a brilliant, brilliant thing. Like, it really is a fantastic car. Out of the three, the Ioniq 5, the EV6, and the GV60, I still prefer the looks of the Ioniq 5. I know it's a really Marmite kind of design, but I just think it's genius.
It's quite cool looking.
Yeah. And that's probably still the one I'd go for because it's got the extra boot space. You know, I've got a couple of kids. I've got a dog. We don't travel light anywhere, so it's probably still the one I'd go for. But the GV60 feels a lot more premium. It really does. And then the most recent car I've had is the GWM Aura Funky Cat. Just launched a video for that. So that's really interesting as well. Really good to see a new brand to the UK where they've come with something so bold, so wacky, you know, so interesting, rather than just a case of someone draws a picture of a car and they turn it into one. You know, there's real kind of design has gone into that, real thought has gone into it. The interior as well is very, very premium. And certainly if you got in the...
It's lovely.
Yeah, if you got into that and then got into an ID3, you would not believe that, you know, the ID3 were the more expensive of the two. I'm perhaps not quite masculine enough to pull off the design myself, so I probably wouldn't buy one, but then it's not designed to appeal to me. So, you know, I always try and review these things without any bias, whether it's personal bias or something I've heard or anything like that. And it's actually a really, really good car. What lets it down slightly is the boot size. It's only, I think it's 227 litres. Where the cabin is huge, you know, loads of rear leg room, really a much bigger car than you think it's going to be. And then you pick up the boot, you open the boot and it's just a bit small.
Sure. Yeah. So some smaller cars are just, the boot space isn't quite as good. So I like the look of that car. We mentioned earlier that there's a GT version coming at some point. I've just seen some pictures of that on the internet. That looks really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's not definitely coming yet, but
okay,
it looks very, very likely to happen. And I don't think it's going to have any more performance. I think it's just going to be like the styling of it. But certainly, yeah, when you look at that, the styling of it, it becomes something I might be interested in.
You know, that's cool.
Potentially, yeah. I would potentially buy one of those. Where the funky cat as it is at the moment, I wouldn't.
Sure. Yeah, there's been a lot of. As always, you can find the videos Jim mentions on his YouTube channel. There's a link in the show notes. He's definitely not a guru on YouTube. So yeah, so good episode for March. Lots of EV news, some charging news, and of course, you can find us at Fully Charged Live on the 28th of April. We'll both be there filming and doing different things at the event. So yeah, it's been a good episode. Where can people find you if they want to learn more about Definitely Not a Guru and yourself?
Yeah, so on YouTube and Facebook at Definitely Not a Guru, on Twitter at NotAGuru3, and Instagram at NotAGuruGym.
Awesome. Yeah, you can find all of this news in the show notes, and most of the news is from theinterface.uk. You can find us on Twitter at @the_interface_, and also on Mastodon, link down below as well. But yeah, thanks for listening to this episode. If you've got any feedback about the episode, you can email info@theinterface.uk. We're always glad to hear your questions, comments, and opinions on the episode, and anything you'd like us to look at next time. Yeah, and we'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Charging status is proudly recorded using Squadcast. Squadcast provides an easy and robust way to record video and audio podcasts. Use our referral link to help support this as well as future episodes. Charging status is also proud to be hosted with Castos. Castos provides an easy way to host podcasts and distribute them to all the top platforms, including YouTube. Use our referral link to help support this as well as future episodes.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.